Hey, Billy, what about... Hi, Billy. It's great. I can hear him. I can hear you. Well, I tell you, we're starting a new series entitled, Is Giving Up Okay? Most of us, if not maybe all of us, at some point in our life, we want to give up. And there's probably been a time in your life or a point where you just dread even the day. How many of you have ever been in that situation where you just dread something? You know? Yeah, okay, a few of you. The rest of you are blessed, I guess, or just not admitting it. I'm not sure, but a lot of us, we just, you know, we want to give up. Most of us are not like this frog. Look at this. Take a look at this, please. You know, never give up. He's holding on for dear life. Some of you do that. I mean, you just won't give up. You hold on for dear life. All right? Seems like things could be... You feel sorry for that poor frog. Yeah. Even the days can seem overwhelming. One day in particular can seem... Like this lady. Look at this. I want you to look here.
Banks near the road. A few years ago, one boy... Dangerous game kids play is to tunnel in snowbanks near the road. A few years ago, one boy actually...
You didn't get enough the first time, you know? That's... Yeah. You know, sometimes we just want to give up. I mean, you know, we just get covered. Did you get it? We get covered with so much in our life. So we dread it, and dread defines as dismay, alarm, fright, fear, to be afraid of, to not look forward to, be worried about. How many of you have ever dreaded, ever in your life? See, I want to show my hands now, because I just read the assignment. What is with you people? Man, maybe this isn't for you today. Don't you think that we live lives that are full of dread? Yeah, some of you. The rest of you are going, well, I'm dreading the sermon. I don't know where you're going with this. Well, I invite you to turn to Book of Job, chapter 3. Job chapter 3. And we're going to talk about dread. When will the dread ever stop? Now, I'm going to tell you, the dread stops when you admit your fear. When you admit your fear. You look at Job chapter 3 and look at verse 25. Job, you know, Job has gone through an awful lot. I mean, you know, he's walked a journey that has been difficult. He's gone through testing. If you want to get right down to it, what happened was Satan came along and he said, because Job was the servant of the Lord, and Satan came along and said, let me see how good he is, Lord, and you take your protection off of him and let me do my thing and see if he... See what he does in his relationship with you. And so then God allows that to happen. And so Satan does a work in Job's life, which I don't know if some of us could even hold up to. But Job chapter 3, Job hears, first of all, from his three friends, and then he speaks back because they're trying to be so helpful. But here's what Job says, verse 325. What I feared has come upon me, what I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil. Some of you may be there right now today. I have no rest. I have no peace. I have no quietness. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I like the way the Amplified Bible says this. For the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, that which I am afraid befalls me. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in faith. We receive things by what we believe. The Bible says, be it unto you even as you believe. So what you believe will happen. But that not only works in the positive, you got to understand, it works also in the negative. Job said, the thing I fear comes upon me. You know, you see that snow. Job said, I get what I'm afraid of. Sometimes people are very bold in some area, and yet they in other areas can be so afraid, so fearful. I think some areas that we have a gift of faith, and it's like we operate in a gift of faith in some areas, but in other areas we just can't. And it's faith. Faith is a force that drives the will of God into our lives. It draws the will of God into our lives. And fear does the opposite. We push it away, the faith. Now, there's a lot of unique fears out there. I mean, some of you may recognize me off the top. And some of you say, well, public speaking for me would be a fear, you know? Others of you, cooking can be a fear. Others of you could be eating. Fear. It's true. When it comes to the church ministry, you might be afraid. I'll tell you right now, I don't have a fear about the church ministry that God will provide, because I know God will. But, you know, other people, they fear church ministry. They fear traveling. They don't want to go to the other most parts of the world, you know, and others can do that. I mean, just talk to Pastor Jeremy, you know. You know, and then talk to me. Put it side by side, and you'll see who really gets afraid of traveling. You know? Others are afraid of meeting new people. Have you ever been afraid of meeting? You know, you get into a room, and then there's new people around, and you're just afraid. You know? But at the same time, some people don't like to return something without a receipt. You know? It's true. There are other people. I mean, you... Person can stand in front, they can run a corporation, you know, CEO of a company. But when it comes to taking back something to Walmart without a receipt, no way, I ain't doing that. Somebody else can do that. See, and that person that does that, so that same person used to be scared, can't stand up in front of people and talk, they can just go in there and they can wheel and deal with that Walmart clerk. They leave with more money than they actually, you know, even spent, you know? We're afraid. Some of us we're so afraid. We have to admit our fear. I remember my brother, 6 years older than me, much wiser. He wanted to date a neighbor girl across the way. Some of you are laughing. I heard giggles. And she lived across the street. And, you know, whether you like it or not, I mean, I was able to talk even when I was 5. I mean, so, true. I don't know. They tell me. So my brother came to me one day and he says, "Hey, Dav, I got a crisp dollar bill." That was when dollars were bills. Sorry, I dated myself. I should have said a loony or something. I just realized what I said. But he held up that dollar bill and he said, "Dav, do you like the shiny dollar?" I said, "Yeah, I do." Said, "Yeah, I got it. Shiny. Shiny." Okay, it was brand new, all right? Look pretty shiny. He just came out of the mint. Okay, thank you. Should be crisp. And you know what? I speak for a living. Anyway, this crisp dollar bill. He held this up and he said, you like this? Oh, man, dollar. Back in that day, you could get more than just bubble gum with a dollar. And now you can't even get gum with a dollar. But he held that up and he said, this could be yours. I went, what? Oh. He said, all you have to do, just go across the street. And tell Maggie, what's her name? Tell Maggie. You know, she's going to watch this on the internet. Just realize that. She could. Anyway, go tell me. Just go tell her how great I am. For a dollar, it's not bad. You know? I said, well, I can do that. I can make up a lot of stuff. I said, no big deal for me. So, anyway, dollar bill. He says, "Joy, it can be yours. This crisp. Not shiny, dollar bill." So what I do, I watch carefully. Maggie's sitting on the front steps. So I go, and he's watching from the kitchen window, the house. And I go up and I sit on the steps beside Maggie. "Maggie, I see you sitting here on the steps." She said, "Yeah." "So you know, my brother, he's really a great guy." She said, "Yeah." I said a few things. I said, "But you know what? He's so in love with you that he's too terrified to come over and talk to you himself. And, you know, he really would like to go out with you. He really would. You know, he'd like to do something, you know. He'd probably like to sit on the steps right now with what I'm doing, you know. So, you know, if you just kind of been nice to him, that'd be really great. And I get a dollar out of the deal. True. So I get back, you know, and I tell you what happened was, then we're sitting down, we're having supper. Before supper, I go in, you know, and I completely forgot about the dollar bill. I don't know what's wrong with me. See, that's what, money means nothing to me. So I go into the room, there's a dollar bill sitting on my pillow. And I'm, wow. So we're sitting at the table, and I said, hey, there's a dollar bill on my pillow. My brother's kicking me. And then I realized, whoa, yeah, right, I forgot. I talked to Maggie. But I didn't say anything, didn't say a word. I charged him $5 to keep quiet. I did, it was great. And Peter, you wonder how I get money. Say, oh, I do, you know. I think that we all have some area in our life where we need to apply this series. And it starts by admitting what you're afraid of. I know that God doesn't want us to live in fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound minds. You can say crisp instead of shiny, you know? Fear has torment. Fear prevents us from making progress. Satan uses fear to keep people from making progress. See, if I live in fear, I'm going to receive Satan's plan for my life. Because without faith, we cannot receive from God. Without fear, we cannot receive from the devil. Because he uses fear. Without faith, we cannot receive from God. Without fear, we cannot receive from the devil. Whatever Satan has got for you, he can't give it to you unless he can make you afraid. You get it? You getting this? You need this. Because God has got some great stuff for you. God has got a marvelous plan for your life. And he can't give it to you unless he can get you to believe. God wants us to be positive in our relationship, in our life, in our journey, in our job, in our ministry. God wants us to be positive in our living. Devil wants us to be negative. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. The dread stops when you admit your fear, but the dread also stops when you advance positively. Do you know what advance? Advance means to go forward. It means to proceed. It means to press on. We've got to go ahead in our life positively. It means we've got to stop being afraid that something bad is going to happen. In fact, the Bible calls that evil forebodings, which means if you look it up, forebodings means a feeling that something bad is going to happen. I never really knew that, you know, for years. I mean, I was walking in faith, but when I started digging into the Word and understand this, I began to realize that there was always this kind of this feeling around me, you know, kind of a threatening feeling, like, oh, something, it wouldn't matter what happened. It was always something negative, something bad. You know, I think I had that in my life because my mother instilled that in me. I mean, not to put down my mother, but she did. I mean, she, you know, where are you going? I'm going outside. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to play cards, Mom, out in the sand. In the sand? You better wear gloves. What? Well, you better wear gloves. Well, no, but I want to get my hands dirty. No, you better wear gloves because you get sand under your nails. It's not very good. So put those gloves on. Okay. Where are you going? I'm going outside. Well, you can't go outside. You got to change your jacket. You got to wear a different jacket. You know, put on your warmer jacket. Mom, it's plus 47 degrees out. I mean, you know, come on. You know, go out and you're going out to shovel snow. Well, you go out and shovel snow, but don't lift that shovel. You know, just kind of push it along. Kind of push it along. Kind of push. And then this one, my favorite. Watch out for spiders. I hate spiders. Right? How many here are afraid of spiders? Yeah. That's me. Oh, yeah. Watch out for spiders. They bite. Spiders bite. You know? The other day, I was talking to her last week, and she told me, I said, Mom, how was your week? Oh, actually, I had a very good week. I said, oh, really? Yeah. She said, I was only rushed to the hospital once. I said, what? What happened? She said, oh, I felt so weak. got up in the morning, went, sat on the couch, I started crying, your brother didn't know what to do with me, so he said, I better call an ambulance, you know. I said, well, what happened? She said, I just couldn't get any, I had no energy, I was so weak. She said, I don't know what happened. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, they kept me in overnight. I got home. She said, and when I got home, she said, I realized, you know what? She said, my ankle that morning prior when I was so weak, she said, it was so itchy. It was red. She said, and pretty soon a little white bump formed on it. She said, you know what? She said, I figured it out. There was a little spider crawling up my bed, and it bit me. And I said, what? Yeah, she said, that's what happened. I said, you saw the spider? No, I didn't see a spider. But I know, because that little white lump was there. She said, and I wanted them to investigate that ankle. She said, but you know what they said to me? That can't be part of your weakness. No, that's not why you're weak. She said, yes, it is. That spider bit me. She said, so they sent me home. They ran some tests, sent me home. I said, wow. I said, well, what are you guys doing now? What's happening? You kind of sound like you're out of breath and really busy. She said, well, we're busy. We're really busy. I said, well, what are you busy doing? She said, well, I'm getting your brother to find that spider in my room. We got the mattress off the bed. We're going through everything, she said. That really happened. Why did that happen? Fear. You see, and I guess in my life, there's this open door for this foreboding feeling. So what's the next bad thing that's going to happen? Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may just be going, huh? Wonder when he's going to say something I don't know, you know? God wants us to aggressively believe something good is going to happen. Not sit around and be vaguely afraid that something bad may happen. Have you ever gone through a period of time where you've had maybe just a series of disappointing things happen, and I mean, you know, just one after another. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and you go, no! Oh, what's next? What's going to happen? And it's amazing when you learn from scriptures that God wants you to believe that something good is going to happen. And when you believe that, it's a breakthrough in your life. Abraham Lincoln said, if I'm killed, I can die but once. But to live in constant dread of it is to die over and over again. It's right. You need to open your mouth. You need to start saying, every morning you wake up, you say, ah, something good is going to happen to me today. I'm believing something good is about to happen in my life. Did it ever occur to you that you never hear anybody say, oh, you know, I'm afraid something good is about to happen? Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm afraid something good's going to happen today? You always hear, I'm afraid something bad is going to happen. Fear is connected with bad things, with evil things. And faith is connected with good things. We never say, I'm afraid something good's about to happen. But people often do say, I think I'm afraid something bad is about to happen. See, you do not need to fear what will happen to you physically, because God will look after your needs. Don't worry about whether you eat or drink, he says. He says that right in his word. Don't worry about it. With God, you don't have to worry about being loved, because you'll always be loved. Nothing can separate us from what? The love of God. Emotionally, God will look after you. It says in scripture, it says, take every thought captive. See if it matches up with God. Even financially, you don't have to concern yourself in these economic times, because he even cares and feeds the birds, right? You take your request to God because he cares for you. Shortly after Dallas Seminary was founded in 1924, how many of you know what Dallas Seminary? You ever heard of it? Dallas Seminary, Chuck Swindoll is president, I don't know if he still is, but Dallas Seminary, it was founded in 1924 and it almost folded. It's one of the highest ranking seminaries in North America. And it almost folded, and it came to the point of bankruptcy. All the creditors were ready to foreclose at 12 noon on this particular day. And that morning, the founders of the school gathered in the president's office. They gathered to pray that God would provide. And that prayer meeting was Harry Ironside. And when it was his turn to pray, he said in his candid way, he said, Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money. That's good theology. It's good theology. About that time, a true story, about that time, a tall Texan, boots, open collar shirt, strolled into the business office, said to the secretary, "Howdy. I just sold 2 carloads of cattle over at Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, but it just won't work. I feel God wants me to give this money to the seminary. Don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." Handed over the check. Secretary knocked on the door quietly at the president's office. Handed the check to the president, Dr. Louis Schaefer. Took the check from her hand. Looked at the amount. It's the exact sum of the debt. Turning to Dr. Ironside, he said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Where's our faith to believe something good's going to happen? What happened? Somewhere along the line, we started to believe in what our world does. The economy's a mess. And there's stuff going on in our life every day. Do you believe God is going to... Do you think God is just going, "Oh, no. Oh. The economy's a mess on earth. Abraham, what are we going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Better call the patriarchs together for a meeting because I think I can't live up to the promises I put in the Bible anymore." God's not wringing his hands and wondering, "Will I ever be able to care for my children again?" God's got you. God's looking after you. God is a loving God. God's not just a caring God. God's not only a God of justice and a God of peace and the creator God. God is also a financial God. God is the most wonderful counselor. I tell you right now, if you need a counselor, go to God. If you need peace, he's the Prince of Peace. If you want peace the rest of your life, you need the Almighty God. You need him. You got to start believing and trusting God, not in everything else. To that, I cry out to you. Stop trusting everywhere and in everything else. Get on your knees. Call God. Cry out to him. That's called revival, if you want to know what it is. There definitely needs to be revival, friends. Revival is something that's so needed. I mean, I know the church gives lip service to that word, revival. Revival, you know, I figured, revival is bringing back the almost dead. Reviving. I believe revival being right here is right here, right now in this room. Begins by starting to proclaim something good. Something good. Something good's about to happen. I've had many bad things, many disappointments. Like, yeah. Something good's about to happen. If you don't understand, I walk around and I wait for what happens next. And I mean, I heard somebody say this, "Well, if you're not expecting anything good to happen, then you're not disappointed if it doesn't." I got to tell you, that's pathetic. There's an old saying in Texas. See, I'm into Texas today. I don't know why. But there's an old saying in Texas. It doesn't matter how much you milk, you spill, as long as you don't lose your cow. Doesn't matter how much milk you spill, as long as you don't lose your cow. In other words, it doesn't matter if you make mistakes. You just keep moving forward because you got God. Keep everything in perspective. The problem comes when you see only the spilt milk and you don't see the bigger picture. And that's when we start losing hope. Some people are just afraid to hope. Afraid to expect something good to happen. "Well, I can't do that, you know. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm a Christian." And, you know, there was an atheist who said, I'm just reading, studying bullying in the church, and I was just reading this atheist who said, "You know, I probably wouldn't be an atheist," he said, "if Christians actually looked like they enjoyed life, but they always look like they dread it." Isn't that something? You know what you need to do? You need to interrupt the pattern in your life, the thinking that everything is bad, and you got to start believing for your future that something good is going to happen. You got to aggressively say, "That's it. from this day forward, I'm going to keep believing for something good. The devil will run up to you and he will say, yeah, and what if you don't get it? You need to say, well, then I'm going to keep believing anyway. Because I know God is good. God is good. God is good. You got it. I'm going to keep believing, I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep believing. I don't care, I'm going to keep believing. And sometimes what we want, I mean, is the good, but what God has in mind for us is the best. If you make up your mind that God is good all the time, and since God is good all the time, then I know he wants good for me. You got to make your mind up. God is good. Do you think that God wants good for you? Do you think God wants good for you? Ask again. Do you think God wants good for you?
Yes.
You better believe he does. He does. Now, some of you will want to play the martyr because it's what we do. Well, I'm not gonna claim that. You know, I'm not good like God is. No, you're not. But God does say in his word that he wants you to live a fulfilled life. He wants you to have a life that's full of joy. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have an abundant life. How do I know all this? Because he says it right here in the Bible, his word. God wants great things for your life. So you better wake up in the morning expecting great things. Because I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, Satan doesn't want you to have any goodness. He will work and he will prey on your mind to get you into stinking thinking. So you think negative all the time, critical all the time, despair all the time, doom and gloom, that all you look for is all the bad stuff around you. And when God has all these blessings just waiting for you in the wings, he's almost like setting them up for you to see, but you can't because all the bad stuff's in your mind. When you think like that, when you start thinking something great is going to happen, you just can't wait to see what's going to happen all the time. I'm so glad. I don't have to just wait and see anymore. I can get in agreement with God's word. I can expect, I can believe great things for my life because it's all held in these pages. The greatness of God is right there. Isaiah 30, verse 18. It's a great passage of scripture. It says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. God is looking. He is looking for an opportunity to be good to you. Waiting. Longing. Looking to be good to you. Why? Because God is good. God is good. And so he wants an opportunity to share, to shower his goodness on people. Please understand this today. God wants to be good to you. Don't just wait to see what's going to happen. Declare what's going to happen in your life today. Something good is going to happen today. And everywhere I go, God wants good to happen to me. Psalm 23. Remember, we were called out. Shirley, a number of weeks ago, we were pressed to pray that in our homes and over our homes, our families, our lives. Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm, people quote it all the time. Second half of verse 4, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid that something bad is about to happen or going to happen. I will fear no evil. Oh, what's happened? Why can't we live each day expecting the good? There's nothing wrong in that. A little further over, Psalm 23, there's Psalm 27. And Psalm 27 says, what would have become of me, the psalmist said, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Now, that doesn't mean in the sweet by and by when I go to heaven. But in the land right now. While I'm still here on earth, I need to expect to see the goodness of God. Now I tell you, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? You may be going through the toughest journey in your life right now. You even wonder how you're going to make it through. I want to tell you right now, something good. Something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. Now, the church is great at bad news, hurt and pain. We need good news. Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and have good courage. Let your heart be enduring. Wait for, hope for, and expect the goodness of the Lord in your life. We need to stop being afraid that something bad is going to happen. Start believing that something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen to me. Everybody say that. Something good is going to happen to me. Say that again. Something good is going to happen to me. Now say it like you believe it. Something good is going to happen to me. You're just on your way to stopping the dread in your life. Let's pray. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Think about dread for a moment. What it is you're dreading. Maybe it's something you're dreading in your job. Maybe it's something you're dreading in a relationship that you're in. Or maybe it's just something you're dreading each day. You just dread the day. Maybe it's aloneness. Maybe it's ministry. I don't know. Maybe you're, in fact, like that that announcer in the snow and just feeling all covered up. And I'm sure she dreaded that day. She didn't know what joy she'd bring to people through that. Can you really say it today as you've proclaimed it? But can you really say it in your heart, something good's about to happen? I mean, you look around you and you see all the bad stuff. You don't even know how it's going to happen. But can you actually see God well enough through the hurt and the pain? Can you see him looking after you, much like a pilgrim walking with us on a journey? Can you see him caring for you, crying with you, carrying you when you need to be carried, hurting with you? But can you also see him loving you? Can you also see how he's looking after each and every day for you? Ephesians says he goes before us and prepares the way. To me, that's something good. I'm so glad he does that. But today, can you believe it? Can you actually believe that something good is going to happen in your life? Can you believe it? That God wants that for your life? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to just proclaim it to God, silently just say to him, God, I believe you want good in my life. I believe you do. Would you be able to say that to him and mean it? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand up to him, saying that and saying that to yourself, just saying in your mind, just saying, God, I want to clear the thoughts, the cobwebs, the negative stuff that's in there. I want it, God. I've been living in fear, God, and I don't want to live in fear anymore. Just lift your hand up and just lift it up and proclaim that to him today. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Hands are going up all over. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Hands are going all over. You say, God, I want something great. I know something great's going to happen in my life. I believe that. For the first time, I believe it and see it. Just lift your hand up if you're saying that. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. God sees them. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, maybe you've heard about God and people have shared with you about who Jesus is, and maybe you've never just really taken that step to really believe in him and say, God, you're everything. I give you my life. I surrender my heart to you. I want to be a Christian more than anything else, God. I want to do that today. Because you've been hurt so much, maybe you've been hurt by the church, and you haven't really seen the goodness of God, but today you do. Today you see where God is so good. He looks after you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you want to say, God, I want you to work in my heart. I want to be a Christian. More than anything else, I want to be a Christian. And God will take you on a journey through your life. You want to say, God, I want you to cleanse me of those awful things in my life, those sins, those bad things, those wrongdoings. God, I want you to cleanse me, and I give you my heart afresh and new today. Well, eyes are closed and heads are bowed. If you're willing to say that today to him, just lift your head up. Keep your eyes closed, but just lift your head. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Father, you've seen our commitment here today as your people, as your church. Lord, sometimes the church gets a really bad, bad name, and bad rap. Lord, may we not serve anything or anyone else but you. Lord, as we've talked a little bit about revival today, and it needs to start within us, within our hearts. And I pray, God, that you would do that for each of us today. Revive us again, God, so that we would see better who you are, so that we would look through all the disappointments and the hurts and the anger and see your love, your care. And may we believe not just in you, God, but may we believe you. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.